RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Still taking my vitamins, Val, and...
Beans! What kind of vitamins?
I've taken my F2 and my zinc and quercetin and...
What is F2?
Oh, it's from a BioAge company that I buy stuff from. My buddy Glenn turned me on to it. It's pretty much a green supplement, like a spirulina and whatever.
Do you want to know when I was in, I guess I was just out of college. I was working at a place and I was doing all this reading about spirulina.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that you could go on a spirulina diet because it's got 22 of the 28 or whatever amino acids that you need to actually survive.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So I went on a spirulina diet and all I did was drink shakes with spirulina and one meal a day. That was it.
What happened to you?
I ended up in the hospital.
Jeez. I don't care what the hell they say. Listen, you can get everything you want from this one thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't care.
My potassium levels were like on the ground. I was having all kinds of heart problems.
Oh, God. No.
It was like 3 months of that. And I destroyed myself. It was bad.
Well, I think spirulina is only like one little thing that's inside this. It's something else, too.
Spirulina is not bad for you.
No,
it's just not solely.
Don't try to subsist on it.
Yeah, don't try to fast on spirulina.
My God.
Just whenever anybody says spirulina, I remember being in the hospital because of it. So that's why I said I told that story.
Like flashbacks from Vietnam.
Yeah, seriously. I was stupid. What an idiot. Anyway, we're going to be together today for a half hour, Frank. We started a little early. You threw a curveball at me. And so...
Yeah, but I'm really interested to hear this interview that you're going to conduct at 10 because this is very intriguing news.
Yeah, I'll just go through it briefly. So again, I'm going to say I'm conducting this interview and having this discussion in my personal capacity. And it has nothing to do with my position in the GOP. As a matter of fact, this doesn't have anything to do with my GOP in Horry County either, really. But it's what happened is there was in Greenville County, which was the largest county in South Carolina, there was an election for leadership, the party, the county chair, EC, and vice chair. And there were shenanigans that went on and they did it all virtually. And the way it works is at the convention where you elect your leadership, you also elect your delegate slate that will vote for the chair,
right,
of the GOP and all the officers. And so the delegate slate that was elected ended up being all of the, you know, MAGA GOP, right? So it was like every delegate is like 70 something of them, but two that were voted on and elected were of this MAGA mindset, for lack of a better word. And then the leadership positions that got elected, it's almost like when the down ballot races go the right way. And then the up above, like the presidential election goes to Biden by like a, you know, 60,000 vote margin. It's basically the same thing. When all of your down ballot candidates are hardcore Republicans and then you've got a Democrat as the governor, you're like,
Yeah, I never understand how that happens.
Yeah. So they knew there were all kinds of shenanigans going on. So when the new leadership was put in place, because of overwhelming pressure from the rest of the Greenville party, they put in, and I'm leaving out a bunch of details here, but they appointed a committee to look into what happened during the convention because they couldn't get any work accomplished because all of their people, their constituents, their active ECs in the Republican Party in Greenville were of the mindset that the elected leadership was illegitimate. So the elected leadership was, you know, they were trying to do whatever they were trying to do, but they couldn't because everybody there thought they were there under false pretenses and they couldn't get anything accomplished because of the consternation underneath them.
Ah.
So they appointed this committee and the committee did their work and it was half of the quote, what you'd call, I guess, establishment people. And it was half of the what you'd call, I guess, the new breed of Republican that is coming to the party. and they did their report, and 2 days ago they released it. And sure enough, this unbiased committee found a whole bunch of things that had gone wrong during the elections, including an anonymous donor. You have to pay in the GOP in Greenville to be able to be a delegate. You have to pay $25. So there was like an anonymous donor that came in and said they would pay for certain delegates and that those delegates didn't have to pay, but that wasn't offered to every single delegate. So there were 360 delegates that did not pay for their delegate, for their slots to vote, right? But when the convention happened, the money still hadn't been deposited into the treasury of the Greenville, South Carolina. And it all comes from the main party. It all comes from Columbia, which is the capital of South Carolina.
Well, there you have it.
Anyway, so that's it in a nutshell. So yesterday, last night, all of the elected
and again, Tracy, in a red state.
In a red state. And
so it's
all of the leadership resigned yesterday. They all resigned. After this report came out, they had a meeting. They went over the report. All of the leadership that had been elected this go around for reorganization, the chair, the vice chair, and the EC all stepped down from their positions in a very nasty sort of a way. But what really is ruffling feathers is actually what the chair of the South Carolina GOP said about these people that had called for this report, which found clear problems. They said, my SCGOP, which is the group that ran reorg for the GOP in South Carolina and got all the new people in, they said, is a fringe rogue group that has used Antifa-style tactics to essentially dismantle the Greenville County Republican Party to become its own hobby horse. And then he called them lepers. It will fall into a state of disrepair, become a complete dumpster fire, and essentially be a leper colony for the next year and a half. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Republicans in Greenville who are active, engaged, excited to do good work for the Republican Party. And the chairman of the Republican Party in South Carolina just called them all lepers. It's the biggest county in South Carolina.
My gosh.
I mean, he did not have to do that. It is gross.
No.
It's gross. So what he's basically saying in these articles is that now he's going to help facilitate the people that left to start their own clubs in Greenville. And basically he's saying he's going to run a shadow party underneath the actual GOP that has the voting power at the statehouse.
So what we really need to do is we need to create one of those artificial islands like China's been doing in the South China Sea out there and just make our own republic.
I mean, just
hang out there and just let the country eat itself apart.
I just can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said all those things. It's really gross. It's whether you agree with what's going on in Greenville or not, for him to come out and speak about people that are, it's just gross.
It goes on into the, I don't know, how really gutless people are and afraid. They're afraid of changes. And that old adage about the winter warrior, the winter soldier, and how it really takes nothing to be a patriot when there are good times. And when it comes down to actually having that going against the grain or seeing something going on, I don't know. I don't know what anybody thinks that they're preserving for throwing things like that out there.
It was nasty. It was just nasty. So we'll have Presley on at this. Presley, who is one of the organizers of all this, who's in the he was elected into an I think it was third vice chair position in the party there. All of the people that didn't make the slots that they ran for. So Presley Stutz ran for the same position that I did, state EC. And Jeff Davis was running for chair. They all made it in. They had a separate election after the fact for other positions in the executive committee, and they all won those positions. Surprise! So anyway, he's going to be on to tell us the details after you leave us, Frank.
Okay.
And there's a lot more. There's a lot more. I mean, there's a lot more. So. Goodness. But there's a lot going on outside of that, too. So listen to what the AG of Pennsylvania has to say about Doug Mastriano. You ready?
Oh, I can't wait.
It's not Republicans in Pennsylvania And it's not a group of senators. It is one insurrectionist state senator
who is demanding. Oh, I hate them.
Can you believe?
I hate them so much. I just hate them so much.
Yeah.
I hate them.
I hate them too.
Nothing but contempt.
Yeah.
Now the lights are flickering. If I cut out, it's because Tropical Storm Elsa has taken everything away.
That was yesterday for me.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we have like 12 hours of rain ahead of us now, so.
Yeah, and you guys had flooding in the subway yesterday, I saw.
I saw a lot of flooding in that subway.
Yeah.
But I have flooding in the backyard. We got a sump pump going on, and we're bringing the water elsewhere.
Elsewhere. You're bringing it elsewhere?
Elsewhere.
Ah, that's so funny. Okay, here we go.
Demanding the personal, private voting information of 997,000 Pennsylvanians. This is a sham, what he's trying to do. Importantly, let's speak some truth. There have already been 2 legal audits done in counties all across Pennsylvania. We know the truth.
First of all, how can be 2 legal audits done in counties across Pennsylvania? How?
Across. Everything that they say is just a lie.
Everything.
Everything. And that's why, you know, I mean, you just think about what we were listening to with the Facebook fact checker on Wednesday. You know, they take something and they, even something so minuscule, they have to prep it. They have to pretty much encapsulate it and wrap it up in words that give it meaning that it doesn't deserve. 2 counties across the state.
Yeah. Is that Joe Biden won the election here in Pennsylvania by just over 80,000 votes. Sadly, there are some people that just simply can't accept reality, and this state senator is one of them.
So there's that, and then I want you to listen to this, which I know everybody has listened to already, but let's just listen to it again so I can make a point.
Crenshaw tweeting, how about don't knock on my door? You're not my parents. You're the government. Make the vaccine available and let people be free to choose. Why is that concept so hard for the left? Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs tweeting, it's none of the government's business knowing who has or hasn't been vaccinated. Joining me now is Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra, who is helping in this effort to get Americans vaccinated. Sir, thank you so much for being with us. I wonder if you can answer that criticism. It's none of the government's business knowing who has or hasn't been vaccinated. What do you say?
Brianna, perhaps we should point out that the federal government has had to spend trillions of dollars to try to keep Americans alive during this pandemic. So it is absolutely the government's business. It is taxpayers' business if we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID.
Okay.
Nobody asked you to, you piece of shit.
So let's just say this. You can't canvass during an audit. You can't look at ballots that have no identifying information on them whatsoever because the sanctity of the vote, Frank. But it's okay for the government to walk around door to door about your vaccine status. That's okay. They can come knock at your door about the vaccine. But if, God forbid, someone wants to ask you if you voted, or if you live where you say you voted, that's off limits.
First of all, yeah, they spent trillions of dollars, but not to keep people alive.
No.
They spent trillions. Well, you want to really talk about where all that money went to and how much money went to unemployment or to keep people safe from a virus? I don't care what the hell they say. Oh, well, okay. So pretty much all you got to do now is say, well, we just spent trillions of dollars and we did it all for you. Therefore, open your legs, open your life. Open your doors. We have all the right in the world to see if our investment is working properly, or to see our investment through to whatever kind of an end we deem to be appropriate. How out of your mind do you have to say something like that in public and not have people go out of their minds? But this is what totalitarian Nazis can do, and I can't stand when people go. And they try to, gasp saying, oh my gosh, these conservative types, or just people who don't think the way we do, because there's plenty of Democrats out there and people who consider themselves to be liberals who are still civil libertarians that look at what's going on right now and are absolutely not just appalled, but frightened. And they are making very, very reasonable comparisons to other points in history where there have been totalitarianism. The totalitarianism has shown its head like this. And when they make comparisons to any kind of human experiments or anything like that, coercion, any kind of coercive action, they say, oh, they always put on out pictures of staff, people in camps, Jews who have been emaciated from being in labor camps for months and whatnot, just walking around looking gaunt and ghostly and pale. Like, this is what Republicans are comparing our efforts to literally save lives over. Like, no. You can be obtuse all you want, like the rest of you. That's all you have at this point. But there's nothing inappropriate about making comparisons between this kind of coercive action and any other totalitarian action that has been taken in any year, in any era prior to this.
There's
nothing inappropriate about making those comparisons. They just don't want to look into the mirror and see that they are everything they scream about everybody else being.
Yeah, the rest of it's worse here.
And helping reopen the economy. And so it is our business to try to make sure Americans can prosper, Americans can freely associate. And knocking on a door has never been against the law. You don't have to answer, but we hope you do, because if you haven't been vaccinated, we can help dispel some of those rumors that you've heard and hopefully get you vaccinated.
There are experts. Listen, we hear pleas from President Biden telling people to get vaccinated, but what we're seeing is a decline in vaccinations, and there are folks who say more needs to be done, like Dr. Lena Wen, who in an op-ed for the Washington Post said, quote, that's not nearly enough. Biden needs to get behind proof of vaccination, starting with his own White House events. A gathering touting the United States' progress toward independence from the virus should have been the ideal opportunity to make the case for vaccine requirements.
Now, listen to just the words this... independence from the virus, as though it's like a patriotic movement to declare yourself independent from something. Independence from the virus? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And there's more. There's more. I just.
It matters for everyone, including the vaccinated. What's your response to that? Having people say, yes, I am vaccinated, and proving it, or at least having them attest to it.
Well, there are any number of ways to try to continue to make progress, and the president has demonstrated that he is open to moving in any direction we can to help Americans get safe, be
help
safe,
them.
Feel
them.
Safe. And so we'll continue to provide Americans access. We're going to go where you are so that you can get vaccinated, and we'll do everything we can. And what we've done is allowed the states, through our governors, our mayors, and county supervisors, to determine
I hope they know what happened to people like Mussolini. I hope they know. I hope they really. There have been people in government who have tried things like this, who continue. I hope they really know what happens at the end of something like this. They either have to kill and subjugate everyone, or this is. What do you want me to say? I don't know. We're at that point right now where they're talking about cornering you in your home and trying to give you all the information that you don't even want at this point. And then what happens? They want to try to help us get back to free association. You know how you do that? Get the fuck out of our way. Jeez, I can't do this. I can't do it. I have no good thoughts in my head right now. So this is not good.
It's true. All the stuff you're saying is true. You're not going to do what? Talk about it? I mean...
I don't understand. They want to help us get back to being free, but you would imagine that they're going to. It's like you want to talk about Stockholm syndrome, where you expect people to sympathize with their captors. That's exactly what this is. They want people to continue to psychologically, lay down in front of them and just say, please tell me what to do. because the only thing that's holding anybody back from living free life and working and going back to school and, you know, whatever, freely associating, going out to a bar, having a cup of coffee with friends and family. The only thing helping stopping us from free associating is people like Xavier Becerra. And they say, well, we want to help you get back to a time where you can get all that stuff. Well, what's in our way? A mountain?
Yeah, what's stopping us other than you?
Yeah, we want to help you get past us. Think of it, that's what he's saying.
All you have to do to do that is poison yourself with something that we don't know what, or maybe they do know. I mean, this whole push to get vaccinated is starting to get creepier and creepier.
Listen, I don't know what the hell's in these things. Not very many people do. I hear all types of, you know, studies being done. People take a batch of this and they put it under an electron microscope. They're finding one thing or another. They think they have found. Well, all I know is what I've said from the beginning. I don't care if it is waters from the fountain of youth. It does not matter at this point. If you're selling it in this way, there is something else going on. You're setting us up for something else. And aside from that, you cannot deny that in no other time in our history, no other time anywhere, would over 7,000 people die from any vaccine and they still be pushing it on out there to it without, you know, putting a halt on anything. I saw Jim Cramer, that crazed lunatic, crying on his show pretty much about why the FDA hasn't given full approval over this stuff yet so that there can actually be bigger and stronger and easily enforceable mandates. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, you got to remember that little thing, that little argument you keep in your back pocket about, well, it's an unapproved experiment. Well, it's going to be approved. All they have to do is just drop a stamp on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's going to be approved. That little talking point is going to go away. So they don't care. It's nuts.
Do you see there? They just gave the flu vaccine this way for the first time. An mRNA flu vaccine was just started.
No, I did not know that.
Yep.
And it's like, what are people going to do? Is 300 million people or 200 million people, however many people actually work in this country, what, they're all going to become self-employed?
It's disappointing. There needs to be a critical mass of people who say, get the F out of my face. There needs to be action. We need to do something. We can't just sit back. I am so sick of reading about people who are like, I had to take it for my job. I want to get back to real life. I had it because of this. I had it because of that. I mean,
it's not real life. It's not real life. It's not normalcy. You tell me in any time in the past when normal was reflected in your need to take certain drugs and go through certain mantras and denounce certain people every day in order to be able to be accepted in a workplace or a school or anywhere, your social circles, your family. Like, you can't. I sometimes sit around when I have company over, if it's a mixed group of people, or if I get invited, God forbid, get invited someplace.
You can't talk.
I just pray that all people talk. And you know how I hate frivolity and frivolous things. I pray that we're talking about movies and frivolous, ridiculous nonsense, because anything that is of real importance, I know that there is. What am I going to hear come out of people? I don't even want to be confronted with it.
You know, it's crazy.
They're hopeless.
Yeah. And the same thing happened to me. Like when I go to barbecues and like places and, you know, I always say this, I kind of keep my job and my profession to myself most times because I just want to coexist without having to get into a discussion or conversation about politics or whatever. And like, I'll go to places and people, that's all people are talking about. And
it's a new reality TV. You show up and people can talk about, I don't know, whatever TV shows they're watching, a joke that they heard, this and that. Everybody has been encouraged to be an activist in their life. And it's just they're so dumb. They're as dumb as they were when they were watching Mob Wives every night. And now they're just talking about Anthony Fauci and Donald Trump and this one and that one as if they were characters in these reality TV shows that they only have the intellectual capacity of discussing. And you never get out of that shallow end of the pool with them. And because they are in, I don't know, that's the most frustrating thing about it is they actually think that you're out of your mind when many of us have been doing this stuff for a long time. And all of a sudden we got these the equivalent of retarded children laughing at us as if they know everything. Like, are, seriously? It's like everything is insult to injury.
It's Presley just called me.
Well, okay.
Do you want to go or do you want to stay?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, this is something that, you know, a lot. I'm not going to be able to contribute much aside from, you know, I'm going to listen to it for sure. So.
All right.
You do your thing.
All right. And well, everybody
back on Monday.
Yeah. Sounds good. I had a whole bunch more material, of course, but everybody stay tuned right now for the interview with Presley Stutz from Greenville, South Carolina.
Later.
Yeah. All right. So I am joined right now by Presley Stutz, who is, I guess, we kind of introed this in the beginning of the show. Presley just gave a quick summary of what's going on. But you're from Greenville, South Carolina, and there have been some interesting shenanigans that have gone over the past couple months with the GOP there. Now, real quick, before I turn the floor over to you, I always do this when I do my show and I talk about South Carolina politics. This really has nothing to do with the Horry County GOP whatsoever. I am merely discussing newsworthy events that have made national news at this point. So I just want to make sure that that ethical kind of disclaimer is out there for everybody. But to you, Presley, what's going on?
Wow. we've got a whirlwind going on up here in Greenville County. Yesterday afternoon, the chairwoman, the first vice chairwoman and the executive committeeman all resigned their positions. And that is a result of a long haul of we the people standing up and demanding election integrity. I am the chairman of the Greenville Tea Party. I didn't go to bed till 5 a.m. this morning, so
oh, gosh.
You guys, please forgive me. But we've been in this fight for a number of years, Tracy, with the MAGA agenda and the conservative agenda, and we had an election back in April of this year with the Greenville County at the Greenville County GOP convention, and there were some shenanigans that went on, and. We cried foul, and we would not let up until we got an honest accounting of what went on. And fortunately, because we had paper ballots and form ones, which is what the South Carolina GOP uses, we had a paper trail. Imagine that. And so we demanded transparency to the point that the lady who was declared the winner, our chairwoman, ordered an investigation into the election. She appointed a committee, an election integrity committee, and all of these were her appointments, and asked them to look into the election integrity. Here's
real
what
quick,
she
real
found.
Quick. Hold on, real quick. Is there a chance that this former chair didn't have any clue what had happened?
She knew.
So she appointed a committee anyway.
She appointed a committee anyway. Now, I am not casting any aspersions on her or the other two that ran because they were not involved in the fraud and cheating. They were not.
Okay.
But the former chairman of the party was. He is an establishment rhino hack, and he was actually named in the report. And obviously, there were other people who were colluding with him. But there were 44 findings of fact that this committee came up with. And I want to just give a big salute to the chairman of that committee, Mr. Stephen Brown, a local attorney here in Greenville, who chaired that committee. And all of the committee members, they found unanimously that there was whole cloth cheating. Now, what do I mean by that? Here in South Carolina, in order to participate in precinct reorg, one of the things that has to happen is you have to pay $20 to attend the meeting. And that $20 goes to defray the cost of the meeting hall, et cetera. 360 people were not required to pay a dime. He said they were going to be scholarshiped by an anonymous donor, but that money never came in before the convention.
So
many of the forms were altered. Many of the forms were redacted. Many of the forms were not properly filled out. The forms require you to put your name, your home address, your voter ID number, your email address, your phone number, etc. Many of these forms only had information as simple as a first and last name. Some of them, I understand, didn't even have signatures on them. And so as a result, this committee looked into this and they said, this is egregious. And they made the findings of fact. And as a result, all 360 of those ballots really should have been nullified. And there was so much clamor from the people, we the people, that we said to the to the leadership that you need to resign because you were not properly elected.
So now the leadership at this point didn't really have the support of the people involved in the party anymore, correct?
No, they did not. As a matter of fact, the election was a very thin election margin with the cheating anyway. Had there been 46 votes come my way, I would have been elected the first time around. It was that thin of a margin out of 1,500 delegates who signed up. So it was a very thin margin. And then once we found out that 360 of these ballots were illegal, actually there were 385, but 25 of the people did pay their $20, but their ballots were still spoiled. Not their ballots, but the form ones were still spoiled because they were improperly registered.
So basically what this report says is that somebody came in from the South Carolina GOP as a whole and then ran this sort of recruitment campaign, and all the people that they recruited were not required to pay and they were sort of scholarshiped in, as you said. But everybody else had to come up with the $20 when they signed up.
Yeah, so there were two sets of rules. We were required to play by one set of rules. As a matter of fact, we tried to get extra form ones where we could go register our delegates between. We have a reorg meeting, a reorganization meeting, and then about 2 weeks later we have a makeup reorganization meeting. And we wanted to be able to register our delegates between the two meetings, which is routinely done. The former chairman of the party refused to give us these ballots, or these form ones, excuse me. But while we were refused access to any of these form ones, and this committee that did the investigation said there were agents of the party. So, and when I say agents of the party, these are people who were paid by the state SCGOP. They were going around ballot harvesting, going to churches, going to different clubs. We talked to many people, said, oh, yeah, they came by, told me I didn't have to pay any money. I signed my name, and that's all I know. I mean, these people were not engaged. It was a ballot harvesting operation that went on.
And then, because they did this voting online, did they find that anybody that had been harvested did not actually cast a vote? Like, did they find anyone they went back to that said, I didn't vote in anything?
Well, we haven't even been able to get that information. Now, here's another part of the cheating that went on. The former chairman, he paid election runner, which was the software we use for the vote, he paid them the $2,000-some-odd in order to use their platform to have the vote. But we haven't even been, and we've asked for him to give us the data, and he's refused because he said, no, I paid for it. Even though he was reimbursed by the party, it is now party property, but he is still recalcitrant and to this day refuses to let us look into Election Runner. And obviously Election Runner won't give out any information except only to the person who has been running the election, who's their client. So we don't even have that information. Wow. So we can't even say if there was cheating. We can't even say that if somebody sat at one desk and just put in 40 different people and voted for them. We don't know that. And the reason they chose to use, we were only one of two counties in our sister county next door, Spartanburg County. He and that chairman were in collusion. We're the only two counties in the state that did not use an in-person convention, because he knew that these 360 ballot form ones that he harvested, he could not get those people to show up at a convention. That was going to be tough for him to do. But he knew he could get them to sit at home and take 10 minutes and go vote for three people. And so he wasted $3,500 of our money with a down payment at the convention center here in Greenville, knowing all along that he was going to do a virtual convention.
Do you know that he knew that all along? Do they know that for sure? Or is that just an assumption?
Well, we were assuming it, and okay. It's a pretty strong assumption.
No, fair enough. You haven't been wrong about anything yet. So yeah. I was just saying. Okay, so now this happens. You guys have your meeting the other night. You implore them to step down. They're illegitimate, in quotes, right? So they ended up doing that. They stepped down yesterday?
Yes, they did. When I heard the news, I got called by a reporter of one of the statewide newspapers, and he'd been calling me all afternoon, and I was in meetings, and I finally got out of my meeting, and I was able to call him back. I thought he was just wanting a quote from me about, the tension going on in the party. And he said, well, I'd like to get your input on the news. I said, what news? And that's when he told me that the three of them had resigned. They did the right thing, but they did the right thing in the wrong way. Their resignation letter was full of whining, complaining, casting aspersions, vilifying. I mean, it's just sad.
Do you want to read it?
The way that they... I don't have it in front of me. Do you have it in front of you?
I do.
Would you like...
I'll go ahead
if you'd like to. Sure.
Hold on. I had it in front of me a second ago anyway. It's gone. These SC groups on top. Oh, here it is. Okay, ready? Stacey, Brandy, and I are committed to affecting public policy in Greenville County, South Carolina, and our great nation on issues that fellow conservatives care deeply about, whether that be lower taxes, religious and personal liberties, or free markets and limited government. We firmly believe an engaged and informed citizenry is what is needed in our country and our county and our state. Our desire as the leadership of the Greenville County Republican Party was to provide practical education on the issues that affect us while giving Republicans the tools they need to practically engage their elected officials and see real change occur. Over the last 3 months, we have met a lot of good people. People who are new to the process are eager to learn. We appreciate their energy and desire to learn and advance conservative ideals. While we have longed for the opportunity to jointly develop strategies, connect, and do the real work, we have been constantly railroaded the entire time, directly caused by leadership from my SC GOP and the Greenville Tea Party. It has been made exponentially clear to us by leadership within these entities that their focus will solely be on continued infighting, discord, and placing continual barriers to any attempts at effective work on our behalf, rather than coming together jointly to be effective in the political landscape against our real opponents. Continual lawsuits, threats of lawsuits, intimidation, threats, bullying, disenfranchisement, and character assassination, as promised by the leadership of MySCGOP.com and the Greenville Tea Party, do not advance anything positive, much less promote any level of political discourse or change. The tone of the leadership of these entities is clearly destructive to the tenets of the Republican Party, and we will not be a part of it. And then they say, We have patiently sought resolution, addressed baseless accusations, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, it seems very divisive to write something like that.
It is very divisive. Now, the first paragraph or two, those were our goals as well, what they said that they wanted. But here's where the breakdown was. Mr. Jeff Davis is the candidate who ran for chair. And we were in an executive board meeting. And the fraudulently elected chairwoman, Jennifer Black, stood up and said, I can work with almost anybody, but I will not, I cannot, and I will not work with this man right here, Jeff Davis. I refuse to work with him. So that is that is anything but an attempt on their part to work with us. She was receiving instructions from the state GOP chairman, Drew McKissick himself, to fight us. She was told to stand firm. She acted like Queen Jennifer, very similar to a guy named King George III back in the 1770s, who was oppressing a group of colonists. Drew McKissick has also come out, and he's quoted in one of the state newspapers, as saying that these people will now become a leper colony in South Carolina.
So,
and calling us insane. Yes.
Did they call you? Did he call you?
He called us insane. He won't call me. He would never call me and talk to me.
So he says he's a coward. He says this. Yes. Just this is in an interview with the Post and Courier, McKissick described the situation as, quote, absolute insanity, and said the MySC GOP activists have engaged in, quote, totally shameful, reprehensible behavior. Quote, they have essentially preyed on Trump supporters, telling them the county and state party organizations didn't support President Trump, which is a total lie. And then they've gone forward spreading rumors and innuendos about people, everything from sex trafficking to embezzlement to rigging elections, all of this garbage, McKissick said. And then he says, or the article says, long known as the state's foremost hotbed of conservatism, Greenville's local GOP could now enter a period of intense isolation from the rest of the Republican apparatus. Quote, it will fall into a state of disrepair, become a complete dumpster fire, and essentially be a leper colony for the next year and a half. In its place, McKissick suggested that, quote, sane Republicans might end up creating separate GOP clubs in the Greenville area for people who want to stay focused on the core party functions of supporting Republican candidates. Quote, we will help them do that in every way. Now, it seems to me like almost like Drew McKissick is saying he's going to form a shadow GOP underneath his own organization.
Well, that's exactly what it doesn't seem to be. That is exactly what he's doing. And he needs to be called on the carpet. And the Republican National Committee needs to be made aware that this state chairman, who is a poor leader, and he can't lead his people. He can't create unity. He can't create consensus. He has said he had tax and name calls, and he's divisive in his efforts. He cheats. He leads the cheating. He helps, this ballot harvesting scheme that they concocted. He's the one that really needs to be reported to the Republican National Convention, because it's just unconscionable that a chairman is going to create a shadow group within his own GOP.
Yeah.
I mean, they have said to us time and time again, they preach the rules, the rules, the rules. You have to live by the rules. And I understand that. I understand the rule of law. And we do. And we live by the rules. We followed a lot of rules that we knew were unjust, but we did it anyway. We outworked them. And now that they've been defeated in many of the counties around the state, political payback is hell. And that's exactly what he's going to do.
You know, it's funny. And it seems like that this is a tactic they've used in other counties that people have been successful. Grassroots has been successful in coming into the GOP here in South Carolina.
Absolutely. And some of the counties we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, the very county in which you live is one of them.
It was just interesting to me. Like if I were a person outside of, like we're doing what we do and none of this changes anything for us. The GOP is strong here in Horry County. We've got amazing people working in this party here. But It yes. just reminds, he's never come out and said it before, but it reminds me very much of what's going on with some clubs and stuff in our area. So now that this has been said out loud, it just makes a whole bunch more sense.
Yeah. And so I contend that it's the chairman and others who are following his lead, they are the ones who are creating the rancor. They're the ones who are creating the division. And they're using the Saul Alinsky tactic of tell a lie long enough and loud enough and it becomes the truth. And all we're doing is we're pushing back and we're saying, look, we are good, God-fearing, freedom-loving Americans. We recognize, and many, many people became awakened, I guess I should say, I don't want to use that term woke, but we were awakened and we were horrified to see the theft of the election from not only Donald J. Trump, but from the people of America. We voted him in as our president. We know he was duly elected, but they stole that election from him. And I will tell you, they call a lot of the Democrats and the Rhinos the Uniparty, and that's exactly what they are. Because Donald Trump was defeated not only by the Democrats, but also by a number of the Republicans in his own party that he just doesn't that don't like him.
Yep.
And so anyway.
Yeah. Well, what's next now? What's next?
Well, what's next is we soldier on. We have not ceded an inch of the field. We will not cede an inch of the field. We believe that truth and justice will prevail, and it may not happen overnight, but we've been in this battle for 10 years here in Greenville County, and God finally smiled down upon us and showed us some favor, and we literally had hundreds and thousands of MAGA supporters after the November 3rd election heist say enough's enough, and people have gotten involved. And we're just thrilled. I mean, that's how I met you, Tracy,
yes.
a while back.
Yes.
You got involved. Other people have gotten involved. And it's not going to stop, because if it stops, if we don't fix our election machines, if we don't fix our elections, we are no better than the third-rate banana republic out there. We will never have free and fair elections again in this country. And that is what we have to fight against. We have to have election integrity. And that's why we stood our ground. And we knew we were going to take arrows in the back. I mean, our backs are full of the arrows. And, we've been vilified. We understand that. But we're really standing for the truth and what's right. And here's the sad thing of all this. A lot of these Rhino Republicans, they say a lot of the things that we say. They say they believe in a lot of the things that we believe in. But when it comes to actually doing it, though, they cower. They back down. And we don't cower. We don't back down. We push forward with doing what is right, because we believe that the truth will ultimately prevail.
So, I mean, I can't disagree with anything you just said. Are you guys having new elections now? Like, when does that happen? And then what?
Yes. Well, so this coming Monday is our regularly scheduled July meeting. And so we're working on putting together an agenda. Per SEGOP rules, we're going to go ahead and have elections this coming Monday night. And it will not be elections by delegates as it would be during the biannual convention, but it will be the executive committee men from each precinct who will be the ones doing the electing. So that will take place Monday night.
Well, good luck. I'm sure you're on the ballot.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Maybe I'll be sitting next to you in Columbia in a couple months when we do our next meeting. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, that ought to be an interesting day. My word to Drew McKissick is this. Drew, listen, don't fight us. Join us. You say you're a conservative. Please act and show us that you're conservative. And we think we can get a lot done, but, please quit fomenting and stoking these fires. of antipathy, you know, between the groups. We do not need that. And we want to work together. We want to move South Carolina forward in a very conservative way. But it's very difficult to do it when they're the ones stoking the fire and then pointing at us and saying, well, you guys are adding the fuel to the fire. We're not.
Yeah.
We're simply trying to, you know, be good, upstanding, conservative American citizens who want our country back, because our country is going to hell in a handbasket quickly. And the Rhino Republicans, they're simply rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic while we're sinking. And we're just saying, you cannot do that. We've got to do something different.
Amen. I'm with you.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Presley.
Tracy, thank you for having me on. We appreciate you and your efforts at Uncover DC. And God bless you and everything you do.
Aw, thanks, Presley.
This is an MMA report with Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Chris Weidman was talking with Brett Okamoto on the ESPN MMA YouTube channel about of looking at the different stance that Conor had in the second Poirier fight as opposed to his other fights, to where, you know, Dustin realized that Conor was so boxing centric of that's what ultimately opened up those leg kicks and allowed Dustin to have success that he did. You know, I kind of feel like in a way people are, because they're talking so much about the leg kicks in the second fight, Daniel, that they're forgetting about the accuracy and how much success Dustin did have just with his various punching combinations in that fight.
Oh yeah, I mean, Dustin's striking was on point. Conor's was better in the first round for sure. I mean, a big part of Dustin's game plan in that first fight in round one was trying to make the fight close with the clinch battle, and that's where Conor debuted his shoulder strikes. And it'll be interesting to see if we see something like that.
The MMA Report with Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.